Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry so you can do church better. I'm your co-host, Chris Wesley, and I'm joined by John. I am so pumped for Lent, Ronaldo. John, how you doing?
Yeah, Lent.
If anyone loves to fast, it's John Ronaldo here. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why I'm so skinny.
Yeah. All right. I wish I had that problem. But anyway, we're in the midst of Lent, and it's a big time in the church. It's a big time for us individually in our faith. And, you know, let's just jump into, what churches do for this Lenten season. I thought we would talk a little bit about the traditional sides of it, like the fish fries and the CRS rice bowls, which I'm sure you know all about. And then some of the things that you've seen that definitely work and some of the things that maybe we should avoid. And I guess kind of like we know why we do Lent from a spiritual standpoint, but how can we as a church make it an evangelization opportunity to reach people who are outside in the community? Mm-hmm. So I know I just threw a lot of questions out. Let's talk about what you traditionally have done or experienced in the churches that you've been a part of for Lent.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really cool about being here in the Diocese of San Jose is a handful of years ago, the Diocese instituted a Leave Your Light On campaign, which is basically every Wednesday evening throughout Lent, every parish in the diocese has reconciliation.
Right.
Open to everybody. And it was a really interesting campaign that came out of the Office of Vocations, the Vocations Office, as just an opportunity, as a way to open the doors of the church, invite people in as an opportunity to come to the church, to come and be reconciled, to come and experience reconciliation. Because Chris, if it's anything like where you're at, most reconciliation, most confession happens on Saturday afternoons before the Saturday Vigil Mass. And then by appointment, of course, as always. Yeah. And, there's always the question about, is that the best time, for people to come do reconciliation or whatnot. And so I think the Wednesday night thing is an interesting campaign. I think it's had mixed success over the years. But I think it was one of those things that let's just open the doors. Let's just invite people in and make something that is so important in our faith accessible to people. And so I think we do I think each church varies a little bit, but it's like 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. every Wednesday. And it's a huge commitment, actually, for the clergy of the Diocese of San Jose. Sure. Because, it's like, okay, we've got to make this every Wednesday work. And
right.
Not knowing who's going to be there. Is there going to be a lot of people there? Are there going to not be a lot of people there? I think they have counted. I think they try to keep track of how many people come, just so they have some metrics around, if it's working or not. But I think whether it's successful or not, I think it has been successful, but I think it's an interesting idea. It's thinking differently. It's thinking outside the box about opportunities. How do we connect people into the faith community? And so I've really appreciated that. Now I've appreciated it, but I've never gone, so that tells you a little bit, at least for me, my own spirituality.
Gone to confession John? No, I'm just kidding.
if there's anyone that needs reconciliation in his life, it is me for sure. There's no
I'd agree with that. So yeah.
I'm
just kidding. Hey.
What about this part about not being judgmental, Chris?
Well, I've already pulled the splinter out of my own eye, so I'm ready to, pull it out of yours.
No. It's a log, dude. It's a log in your eye, just for the record.
Who's being judgmental now? But anyway, yeah. So,
I see it. I'm just looking at it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But no, I mean, it's funny because our diocese has that same campaign, Leave the Light On. And, I think actually talking about confession is probably something that we might want to do in a future episode, because I never really thought about it until you said it. Our Saturdays really the best times to a Saturday afternoon. And we're talking about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, really the best time for confession. Or is that just saying hey, we offer it, just not at a time that works for you. The kind of daily mass at 9 a.m. Really, who can go to 9 a.m. daily mass? But anyway, we're totally getting off subject. But yeah, that's one thing that I think a couple of dioceses do is the leave your light on sort of campaign, just promoting accessibility, which I think in its true nature is definitely something we want to do. But it's kind of like, are we just kind of going halfway, alligator arming it, you know, or are we like fully embracing this season where, you know, embracing the sacraments, especially like reconciliation, it can be such a beautiful thing. So definitely.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I just think it's a step in the right direction in the sense that people, Lent resonates with people, Catholic or not, because right. I think there is this sense of humbleness. Humbleness is not the right word, but a sense of like, I'm incomplete. Right. I'm imperfect. There's something more, right? I think that's real and genuine in the human existence. And Lent is the intentional opportunity that church builds to bring that to light.
Right.
And to allow people to kind of come to reconciliation with that. And we know that's true because just look at Ash Wednesday, because Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation in the church, but yet it is probably one of the biggest liturgical days of the church year, just below Christmas and Easter, you know?
Yeah.
And that's always fascinating. First of all, it's fascinating that's not a holy day of obligation, you know, but second of all, it's always fascinating to me that people come. What is it about Ash Wednesday that is so attractive to our culture that you get people who never come to church?
Yeah, you know,
but come to Ash Wednesday.
I've got my theory about this, and I've always wanted to write a blog post on this and give it to John Acuff. You know, he's the author of a couple of books, but his first big book were Christians Like or something like that. And anyway, it's because you get a free gift. You get like the Catholic version of a party bag for attending, and it's the ashes, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if we had more giveaways on the holy days, people would come, you know, like think about, you know, the Immaculate Conception, if everyone got little Mary statues, I think, or rosary beads, people would come. No, but I think in all seriousness to that point, I think it's because it's a mark of I did something good. You know, like I go to Ash Wednesday, not that anyone would really admit to that, but let's face it, like we kind of feel embarrassed if, unless we're teenagers, we're embarrassed if we have the ashes, but we kind of feel embarrassed if we're Catholics and we're walking around on Ash Wednesday and we don't have the ashes on our head. And the comedian Judy McDonald, have you heard her before?
Yeah.
She has a great bit on just the ashes and like how, you know, she always felt like how she always got the huge like thumb scoop and like the big like splot on the forehead and everything. And you know, I think as Catholics and even now as other denominations are starting to pick up Ash Wednesday, it's this like, it's this badge of, hey, I'm a Christian, you know, check me out. I went to church today, you know, and unfortunately it becomes like a check the box sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think, and maybe that's cynical of me to think that way, but that's why I think part of the attendance in Ash Wednesday is so elevated because there is that checkbox item that we can get, even though it's sad because it's such a deep sign. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great sort of point to talk about how in Lent we can easily get stuck into traditions that have great meaning in the genesis of them, but then lose its purpose, you know, after a couple of years. And, you know, one of the things you and I were talking about before we got on this, granted in a different subject, is how we've developed these systems and these structures, we developed these programs, and they're successful, they've got a great purpose behind it, but then after a while they start to break down, and instead of figuring out how to do it differently, we just hold tight to them and say, but this used to work, it should work, it will continue to work. Mm-hmm. Like one thing that comes to my mind and something to talk about are like Fridays during Lent, right? I don't know if your churches have done this, but the churches I've been a part of have done like, at the one I'm a part of, they did these Lenten simple suppers at Nativity. And this is in the book of Rebuilt. They talk about the family-friendly Fridays, you know, and just when they first started, people were coming and community was happening and fellowship was happening and it was beautiful. But over time, it just kind of became something else. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've had that experience in the churches that you've been a part of.
Oh Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think the soup suppers on Friday, the fish fries, the whatever we end up calling them, I think there's really a value to that because I've had really positive experiences of that. Now, you know, it begs the question, you know, okay, when is it not working anymore? When does it lose its energy? You know, but again, Lent becomes a time where you get more people attracted to the church. That I think it's an opportunity for us to take advantage of that. So mm-hmm. You know, this podcast is out after Ash Wednesday, but I mean, even looking at Ash Wednesday is like, how do we do Ash Wednesday that invites people into a longer term relationship with the church?
Right.
And it's not just come get your ashes and that's it. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and obviously, we need to do that, and I know that there are some churches, as I've seen on college campuses and Newman centers, that they basically, the church is open, and come by anytime, we'll give you ashes. And then there's a long line of them, which is really cool, you know, but then how do we then, just like, same question with Easter and Christmas, right? How do we, I hate to use the word capitalize, but how do we capitalize on the fact that we have people coming who aren't normally there, you know? And so, you know, the Friday stuff I really like, right? Because if you're a busy household like mine is with three kids and you try to plan out your menus, but you don't do it really well. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, well, we didn't plan out a meal for Friday. Okay, what are we gonna do? It's like, oh, it's Friday. Okay, no meat. Okay, so what am I gonna do, right? You know, that I think in the busyness of the culture that we're in, something like that soup supper, that fish fry, something like that, is an opportunity to be family friendly, because last thing I want to do on a Friday night is cook. Of course, I don't want to do that any night of the week. So that's my issue. So let's have a soup supper every day of the week.
See, I would appreciate that on Wednesdays. Fridays, I'm like, I just don't want to go out anymore, you know? And it's like, oh, I've got to go to church again. And maybe that's like me because I work at a church, but, and no offense to some of the churches out there. I'm sure some of the fish, like if you can find me a really good fish fry, like I think there are some churches in our city, like they know how to fry food. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'll go to those fish fries, but you know, sometimes, some of these churches, the food is just like so bland, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I love this conversation that we're having. I'm sure our listeners are getting so frustrated because they're like, aren't you guys supposed to have the answers? Aren't you supposed to help us? Like, nope. We're just talking all things ministry so that you can do church better, not so that we can do church better. But, no. But I mean, in all seriousness, I get what you're saying, and I can appreciate that, especially since we both have families in the similar seasons of life. But I think that's not, it kind of brings to the question of, okay, like, why are we doing this? Like, why are we doing the Friday nights? Going back to your point about Ash Wednesday, and I think this kind of links into what we do during the rest of Lent, is because it is a time where people will come to church for a variety of reasons, whether it's to check that box or because they really spiritually are entering into that Lenten season, like what are we going to do with that time that they're there to let them know that you're in the right place and that we want to get to know you. Like you're in the right place and we want to get to know you. I don't think it's the time where you come down and say like, all right, let's do 2000 years of church, you know, dogma and history right in like a 20-minute homily. Let's try to figure out, let's answer those two questions. How do we show people that we're glad that they're there and that B, we want to get to know them? Because I think if you can start building that for Ash Wednesday, even if they don't come to anything, you know, during the 40 days of Lent, they might come back to Easter and you can reemphasize that on Easter Sunday and just look at those key moments in our liturgical year where we can answer those two questions. And I think that's where you'll build momentum and start bringing people back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think going back to the Friday's idea then, you know, it's like, again, here's another event mm-hmm. that we're inviting people to on campus. And we're encouraging folks who maybe came on Ash Wednesday who don't normally come on campus to come back on campus. And you know, I certainly question whether it's valuable or not, because you talk about your Fridays. Oh, last thing you want to do on Fridays. And I think that's true for a lot of people. It's like, oh, it's Friday. It's been a long week, work, whatever's going on, school, you know, let's just chill. Like for me, the Ronaldo household, Friday night is movie night.
Right.
You know? And, right. you know, yeah, things come up and we have events or whatever like that. But if there's nothing, man, we're picking out a movie and we rotate which child picks the movie or which adult picks a movie. And usually it's just pizza and popcorn and
yep.
Mexican hot chocolate, and that's it, you know, and
yeah.
that's our evening. And that for us has become ritual, mm-hmm. you know, it's become part of who we are. And so to give that up, to go, you know, do the soup supper is, it's going to take a lot of work, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's my own challenge, because that becomes, that's our, okay, decompressed time.
Right. You
know? So for me then is, you know, soup suppers or whatnot. Now here, maybe this is East Coast, West Coast thing. Like I have, until I met you, Chris, I hadn't really heard the term fish fry. We have, it's very popular to do soup suppers, you know, and our parish mm-hmm. does soup suppers and some of the previous parishes I was a part of. So is that more common in other places, or have I just not been educated enough? And
well, we all know California is its own world. So, you know, but like, yeah, I mean, I that, you know what, we should, maybe we should have a poll.
Yes.
On this. So we're going to put a poll up on our website, thechurchpodcast.org. And we want to know what your Friday event, we'll call it a Friday event, has been called. So we'll put up fish fry, soup suppers. I think there's one or two other ones I'm blanking on right now okay. that are kind of common, and then we'll have other and
fill in the blank
okay. you know, and just say like what have you guys done on Fridays, some kind of poll or something like that, and we'll share those results with all of our subscribers and get those out. But that, yeah, I think there's always been the need to do something on Friday, but there's one thing that you just said that kind of like really struck me, and it's, and I can agree with that despite the East Coast, West Coast thing, where Fridays, we want to decompress, right? After a long week, we want to decompress. And I think this is a problem that we face on Sundays, because, you know, bleeding into Saturdays with youth sports and, you know, sports for our kids and everything like that, we, like Sunday sometimes is the last day where we can decompress before we go into the week. So as a church, it's recognizing that need, and especially during a season of Lent. You know, even you and I as lifelong Catholics are struggling with the idea of going back to church on a Friday night to do something that would be spiritually fulfilling, right? I mean, it would really be spiritually fulfilling, but we're doing that. And so maybe as churches, what we need to look at is how can we help people decompress during this season of Lent so that they can then focus on what Christ is doing in their life, and the way that the Holy Spirit's moving through them.
So let me throw this at you then. What do you think about the idea of like the little black books and the Lenten reflections and the books that churches buy to kind of say, hey, parishioners, take this home, use this as part of your Lenten journey. And they have it during Advent and Christmas and other seasons right. as well, but use it during your Lenten journey to kind of, I don't know, lead you, you know, in this space of prayer, of fasting, of et cetera. What are your thoughts around that?
I think it's a good idea if it's done well. And, you know, like you bring up those, I would also like go back to the churches that I've been a part of where we've used Lent to launch small groups. Right. Cause I think people do walk into, going from my cynical side to my more hopeful side, I do think people walk in on Ash Wednesday saying like, okay, this is my do-over. This is my like New Year's after New Year's resolution to change the things that I'm doing. What do you have for me? And so I think for some people, if they're not ready to open up and share about their faith, doing the book, like I know Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic does a lot of that. You know, they launch a book around Advent or Lent to do that. I know that Paul's Press has done some things like that. I think those are good, but we can't expect that to necessarily create huge amounts of life change. you're going to impact one or two people, like a few people, because that's how they learn, and that's how they're going to be, that's how God's going to enter into their life. But I think if you can do some kind of community-based thing in addition to that, or I shouldn't say community-based thing like the simple suppers or the fish fries or anything like that, but I think if you can introduce them to some kind of accountability group, or maybe it's the doing a mission, maybe it's a chance where people can connect with other people to help them grow through that season, I think there's something worth looking at there. But there has to be leadership in place for that. There has to be someone who owns that project. There has to be plenty of volunteers who are expanding the capacity of that leader to do that. And it gets messy because there's a lot of interaction with communities and building relationships with people. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think, I don't think Lent is something where you can throw a book at people and expect huge life change to happen. But I do think it's valuable to do that, but not to put all your eggs in that basket.
Yeah, well, I agree not to put all the eggs in one basket, but I think to push back, like when you give something like a book, you just don't know. You don't know the impact that's going to have. And so who's to say then that, you know, Chris, you said, oh, it impacts one or two people. Who's to say that it impacts 100 people? You know, and because when people come during Lent, especially, that there is an openness to any ideas that openness is not typically there for the rest of the year. And that's just the nature of Lent, right? And so I really like the idea of a book, because even if they open it up and do it a handful of times during a Lent, you know, that I think makes a big difference. I think that's a good thing, because it encourages them to delve in deeper, and maybe potentially it will lead them, you know, to connect more with the community and stuff like that. Because quite honestly, there's going to be people that don't want to connect with the community,
right,
or aren't going to have the time to come and do a small group or whatnot. Now, sure. I love the idea of launching small groups during Lent and have like, you know, have just like a 6-week series, you know,
right,
during Lent in small groups. And then hopefully what that does is build momentum to say, now, if you like this, you can keep this going, right?
Or right.
Like, and you have more experience with small groups than I do, you know, but
yeah.
But I love that idea as an invitation, like let's bring people into small groups. And I love the idea of you've got 6 weeks, so let's just do a 6-week thing. It's a very short-term commitment for somebody who's like, oh, I don't know about this.
Right,
or,
right.
And it gives them a taste of it. And then there's an invitation afterwards to say, there's more where this came from if you're interested, found this valuable. And I think that could be really, really valuable. Have you had experience? It sounds like you haven't had experience doing that. And has it been effective?
Yeah, I mean, it has. Again, it goes back to like how much energy you pour behind it. You know, I've seen churches where they're just like, hey, we're going to introduce small groups during Lent, put in a bulletin announcement in, make a pulpit announcement, and we'll have a paper sign up after Mass. And it's been ineffective, you know, where I think, you know, Nativity, my former parish, really sets the bar on this, where they made it a huge event. I think St. Benedict's, where Father Mallon was the author of Divine Renovation, they do a great job of it, you know, making it an event to join into a small group. I think you have to stress the importance of it and like have that story, because even jumping into a community where you're asked to be vulnerable, where you're asked for your life to change, is a huge step for people. And so there needs to be a little bit of that encouragement. And I think maybe that's something we need to talk about in future podcasts, is how we communicate people to take that next step in their faith journey. Because I think so many times we just like, hey, you know, this Sunday, go to the fellowship hall and sign up to, you know, adopt a family or something like that. Yeah. And some people are really motivated to do that. Other people are like, why does that matter? And they won't do that. And so if we believe that what we want people to do is really important, we have to figure out how to communicate that better. And I think small groups, we can't just assume that people are like, oh yeah, small groups, that's right, the next thing I need in my life. You know, going back to the book point too, I agree with you. I think that we also have to get a little bit more creative, and, you know, you and I talk about different podcasts or YouTube channels that we follow that, you know, have deep theological content that would be great for Lent, like Word on Fire with Robert Barron, with Father Robert Barron. Another app that thing that a resource that came to my mind is this app that this group in Australia has used, and it's called XT3. They have one for Advent called XT3 Advent, but they also have one for Lent, XT3 Lent. And it's a daily devotional that comes to your phone. And so every day you check it, and they have a little video that's a reflection, and then they have a devotional, and then the readings as well. And that's something that I've used with youth. That's something I've used just for myself. But it's definitely introducing those tools to your congregation to help them grow.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think anything you do technologically or something that comes to people's inbox or an app or whatever like that makes a huge difference. And you don't have to create it yourself. There are things that are out there, but I think what I love about it, or I guess one of the ideas around it really is, and one of my good friends and pastor is very intentional about this. He really encourages his congregation to spend 15 minutes in prayer every day. Right. And it's something that he reiterates over and over and over again, Lent, Advent, ordinary time, whatever. It's a part of the community now at this point that he's built as part of the culture. Mm-hmm. And the books become, or the apps or the email reflection or whatever, become an avenue where people can embrace a 15 minutes a day in prayer, where they don't have to figure out what that prayer looks like, especially for someone who doesn't just pray, off the top of their head or doesn't do silence or whatever like that. Like, okay, I'm going to take this little black book, or I'm going to take this Lenten reflection, and it's going to be part of my prayer for today and each day, right?
Right, right.
That's where you're connecting what's happening on Ash Wednesday or on Sunday, with the books that are out there. Now, with the books, I have young kids. I love the kid books.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
What happens is we start using, at least in my family, is I may not be so apt to open up an adult book, but I'm going to be, because I know faith is still important, I want to give that to my kid, or I want him to embrace it, that I am sometimes more likely to go do the kid reflection book with my kids. And even that becomes an invitation, not only for kids, but for adults to embrace the season. And so, if you're going to do adult books, find some of the kid books and kid resources out there as well that I love. And we always get one for especially Advent, Christmas, and Lent, Easter. We try to do it every night, depending on what time we go to bed, but we try to do it.
Right.
And again, I've got a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 7-year-old. So I'm in the right stage of life where they embrace it and they like it. We read the Bible every night and they love the Bible. When I would say, oh, it's too late, we can't do the Bible, they're like, no, we want the Bible. I'm like, okay, I can't deny
the Bible. You can't turn that down. You can't do that. I agree with that too. Like, having the resources for the kids, it's not just fulfilling for them, but I like that too. So we've just, I know, been doing a lot of talking about ideas out there. And so I don't know about you, John, but from listening to our conversation, some of the things that I'm just kind of pulling away, and I think this is something that we can definitely dive into deeper, maybe as we get closer to Easter, is that when it comes into Lent, don't just go with what you've always done, but ask the questions of, why are we doing this and what can we do better? I also feel like what we're taking away is don't just while I think the archdiocese or the diocese do a great job of saying like, hey, leave the light on and encouraging churches to do that, don't make that your bare minimum. Try to do something, whether it's offering a devotional or a book or small groups, or even an event, whether it's a fish fry or simple suppers or soup suppers or whatever you call it out there. But let's offer something where people can have that community, so that people know that they're valued and that they're welcome and that there's a place for them there. Would you agree with that? Would you add anything to that?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I would just say this, that what happens with some of these events that we do, whether it's a Station of the Cross and Soup Supper or whatever it is, all good stuff. Mm-hmm. But it invites the same old people. It always ends up being the same old people who always go to those things. And again, that feeds them, that's good, whatever. I'm okay with that. I think we should do that. But there's another audience, right? There's an audience that's less connected. And so how do we get, you know, new people there? Or how do we connect people who are less connected to the church there? That is kind of the lens that I'm looking at this of doing things differently, right? And so if the community who's always there, you know, loves a soup supper, of course don't change that, because that's feeding them, or hopefully it's feeding them, you know, literally and figuratively, you know, but then maybe there's a different strategy, different way of looking at it, to try to get those who only come on Ash Wednesday, Christmas and Easter, you know, who an opportunity to connect. And I guess that's the lens that I want to spend some more time thinking about, you know, that there are different audiences of people that we're trying to connect. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to think about that, cause I'm not sure I entirely agree, but let's let that tension sit there a little bit longer. Because we're coming short on our time, but we'd love to know what you guys think. Definitely look for that poll on our website, thechurchpodcast.org. We'd love to hear what you guys are doing on Friday nights for Lent. Maybe it's nothing at all, but just definitely let us know there. And if you have questions, always shoot us an email at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. Again, that's questions@thechurchpodcast.org. You can find John and I all over the web. John is at johnrinaldo.com, and you can find him on Facebook. Now, I always get confused. The Facebook has the different handle than the Twitter and the...
Twitter is at John Rinaldo, and Facebook and Instagram is at John M. Rinaldo, with the letter M, my middle initial, M.
Don't forget that M. He was slow to the punch on those two platforms. And then with me, you can find me at Chris R. Wesley on Instagram and Twitter, and then Marathon Youth Ministry on Facebook, and marathonyouthministry.com for my website. We'd love to hear from you guys. Definitely leave a review, subscribe to iTunes, share this with your friends. There's so many great episodes. So excited for some of the episodes we're going to have coming up in the near future. Interviews with people like Dr. Bob McCarty and Doug Tuke, and a couple of other fun things that we're going to try out. So just a little bit of a teaser there. And again, thank you all so much for just being a part of this journey. John, thank you so much for joining me as always for these conversations.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. And we are glad that you're a part of us and part of this. And we look forward to talking to you next time.
Happy Lent.
Happy Lent.